Get you what you need. Restrictions and details in store. Get in the zone.
AutoZone. 3 minutes past the hour, 3 o'clock, coming up on the Gym Class Monday edition here on KGYM. What a weekend it was, the good and the bad. We will talk about it. Mike Colas will join us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Iowa wrestling over the weekend. All kinds of great NFL action, depending on what side of the street you were on, and a whole lot more. All that coming up on the Gym Class as we take it through the 3 o'clock hour right here on KGYM. Oh my gosh, the dish is coming out. The dish is coming out. Welcome in, Monday edition of the Gym Class on this January the 15th. Scott Unash alongside Mark Dukes, former sports editor of the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Kyle Mann, our producer, across the glass here on a Monday. Mike Colas will join us coming up in just a little bit, and lots to talk about with Mike. The Iowa wrestling team getting a big victory yesterday. Of course, NFL playoff action from the weekend. How crazy was that? Especially if you're a Minnesota Viking fan. And we will also we'll also light the bat signal out for one Cajun Troy, just to make sure she's okay out there. Like we said, the good and the bad that took place over the weekend. And a lot of good, but also some negative that took place over the weekend as well. But we start off with, you know, everyone has just been waiting just to get the confirmation on this. And moments ago, Mark, it's like TMZ here. Good afternoon, by the way.
Good afternoon.
Moments ago, the first big story of 2018 has broken. Yes, ladies and gentlemen, Danica Patrick has admitted she is in a relationship with Aaron Rodgers. Our national question has been answered. It was not a nightmare. It's just a national question. So Danica Patrick and Aaron Rodgers are now a thing.
I hadn't even heard rumors.
You hadn't even heard the rumors?
No.
Oh, man. Oh, yeah. Hot and heavy. Why else would Danica Patrick be in Green Bay, Wisconsin in the middle of winter if she wasn't there for a specific reason? Like, oh, yeah, dating Aaron Rodgers.
Mm.
So there you go. There you go. Does that do your heart good just ahead of Valentine's Day, things like that? Knowing Danica's okay after the breakup with Ricky Stenhouse Jr.?
I have no feelings. I really don't.
I'm trying. Oh, man. Coming up, we've got tickets to see the Rough Riders play this Friday night. They're going to take on Team USA. Well, we always like to root for the Rough Riders, but, you know, we will be rooting for both teams coming up on Friday night, January the 19th, 7 o'clock. Rough Riders and Team USA. They're also going to be here on Saturday for a home game as well. So we're going to have your chance to win tickets all this week. It's Small Business Appreciation Night, by the way, this Friday night, as the Rough Riders will take on Team USA. Mark, did you turn off the radio call or the television at any time yesterday of the Viking-Saint game?
No. If you watch football, especially in the NFL, for any length of time, you would never do that.
You and should learn that you shouldn't do that.
Anybody
anyway.
Who did was not rewarded. That's for sure.
Unbelievable. And again, I just want to know Cajun Troy's okay. I just want to know if she's okay. So, Troy, if you're out there, send us a text. I'm worried. 319-366-1600.
Or any Saint fan, for that matter.
Or any Saint fan, but especially Cajun Troy, because she is she's our number one Saint fan out there, and I just want to know that everything is okay. Quite frankly, I would have asked for the defensive coordinator's resignation as he left the field. I would have done a Brett Bielema on him at that point. I don't know how you let that happen. Watching it and just going, you got to be kidding me.
Well, the Saints called timeout right before that play, before the Keenum to Diggs touchdown pass. I was appalled. Marcus Williams, the defensive back, just goes flying at Diggs. I mean, I think he's a rookie, but you can't chalk it up to a rookie mistake. He tackles him there, keeps him in bounds for any length of time. The game's over. Man, I don't know what the guy was thinking.
I have no idea. I have no idea. And I feel so bad for that young man, too, because he's got to, as it was said during the game, he's got to live with that the rest of the guy. I think it was, Aikman said he's got to live with that the rest of his career here and the rest of the year. How about the rest of your life with that situation? And I feel bad for the young man. Feel good for the Viking fans out there. Do feel bad as far as that young man is concerned, because, like I said, he's going to have to live with that play for a long, long time. And there's speculation. Did Williams not want to get close because they would have called pass interference and it would have been a penalty and an untimed down to get down, you know, a chance to get into field goal range for the Vikings? I just thought the Saints played that horribly, horribly at the last play last night. You put two or three safeties back there, and they had no timeouts left, the Vikings, so let them catch it in bounds, and game's over.
Seems pretty simple right now, doesn't it?
Does seem pretty simple. Your thoughts, 319-366-1600. The Vikings now move on, and the Vikings will take on the Philadelphia Eagles. Jacksonville lost in all that yesterday. The Jacksonville Jaguars, with an unbelievable performance in Pittsburgh, beating the Pittsburgh Steelers, and just played Pittsburgh off their feet. You talk about matchups, and we do that all the time. Chiefs can't beat the Steelers for some reason. Just don't match up well. Maybe Pittsburgh just doesn't match up well against Jacksonville, because that's the second time Jacksonville this year has gone into Pittsburgh and just spanked around the Steelers.
Yeah, the Jaguars look like the Patriots there in the first half. And you have to hand it to Bortles. I mean, the previous week, he did nothing. Excuse me, the Jags scored 10 points, and then all of a sudden they're an offensive juggernaut. Hats off to the Jaguars. It's going to be interesting to see, what's going to happen with the trip to New England.
New England is sitting pretty, though, right now, you got to think. Can Jacksonville put this on again? They beat Buffalo. It wasn't a very pretty game, certainly. And then after that, they go to Pittsburgh, get a very, very good win. And Pittsburgh kept coming back to their credit. But it was seemingly like Jacksonville was in control of that game. Every time they needed something, Pittsburgh couldn't stop them.
Yeah.
And then you had the Vikings-Saint game yesterday that the Vikings jump out 17-0. Back comes New Orleans. Back comes Drew Brees, who had a horrible first half. This looked like nothing was going to go right for New Orleans. And then they come back, and lo and behold, they get the lead.
Ryan, the food delivery guy.
Nothing
on the
from
text
Troy
line.
Yet?
Not from Troy.
Oh,
no.
Troy, I'm worried.
Viking fan here. I only wish I would have bet on the Saints. Then it would have been a win-win. David and Hudson. Hey, Cajun Troy. Skol. I'm tired of that word already.
I am tired of that word already.
5-2-3-2 on the text line. The missed tackle was unfortunate, but the Saints played poorly in the first half. They shouldn't have even been in that position.
Now, Vikings could have laid them out in the first half. They took advantage of some things. Your texter is absolutely right on there, but Vikings didn't put them away, and the Saints were there. Now, you got all kinds of intrigue. You got New England, and the Patriots certainly are the prohibitive favorite to make it and to win it, even on the Vikings' home turf. That according to Vegas. And you've got the Minnesota Vikings with a chance to, if they go to Philadelphia and win. Now, Philadelphia didn't look like world beaters on Saturday, but they were playing a very good Atlanta Falcon team that had been to the Super Bowl and probably should have won it the prior year, and doing it with a backup quarterback. So Minnesota's got to go play outdoors, oh, by the way, and they got to go to Philadelphia to take on the Eagles, while Jacksonville's got to go up in the cold and take on New England. And it was interesting. And that's our poll question today at KGYMRadio.com, brought to you by Emil's Hideaway. What matchup would you like to see in the Super Bowl?
It would be the Patriots-Vikings, Patriots-Eagles, Jags Vikings or Jags Eagles? KGYMRadio.com is where to vote. And thanks to Emil's Hideaway on First Avenue Southeast in Cedar Rapids next to Home Depot and behind Taco John's.
Vikings with a chance to play at home, to be the first team in 52 years to play at home. And that would be interesting, especially if they took on the New England Patriots at this point. Here are your, obviously you got Tom Brady as one of the quarterbacks, but you've got Case Keenum, Blake Bortles, and Nick Foles as the other three quarterbacks in this equation. NBC is just chomping at the bit to get the Patriots there. You think NBC wants Jacksonville, Minnesota in the Super Bowl? Come on.
Even though it might be a heck of a game, I don't think so.
No, they want Philadelphia, New England, and a bunch of Northeast television sets tuned into that Super Bowl. That is what they want out there. 319-366-1600. Troy, waiting for you. Troy, please, I'm worried. Call in. We want to know that you're okay. If you know Troy, tell her to text us. Call in. The delay is up. It's ready to go. We want to know if she's okay.
5232 on the text line. That secondary is absolutely fearless and full of swagger. And that Jacksonville team is built to bully the Patriots and beat up Tom Brady.
That's the way they're going to win. They're going to have to get heat on Tom Brady, and they're going to have to sack him, put pressure on him, hit him. But Tom Brady's not like any other quarterback. There are Brady rules out there, too. If you touch Tom in the wrong way as you go to make your sack, you're going to get a penalty. So not saying there's a conspiracy theory, just that he's a veteran, and he's been around the block a whole lot. We got the Cyclone Call-In Show coming your way tonight. By the way, happy Martin Luther King Day to everybody out there. And with that in mind, we've got NBA basketball tonight for you. Cleveland and Golden State. And that will be coming up immediately following the Cyclone Call-In Show. We'll join that at 8:30, 8:35 tonight on 1600 AM. We've got a high school basketball Monday nighter for you on 107.5 and 106.3 FM as Cedar Rapids, Washington will entertain Fairfield. Let's go to Wally on line one this afternoon. Wally, good afternoon.
Good afternoon, gentlemen. I just want to comment on the pinpoint passing by the quarterbacks. And especially in Sunday's games. I didn't see Saturday's games. But, I mean, under pressure, you know, duress, whatever. I mean, just the balls were just laser beams when they had to be, landed right in their hands over their shoulders. And then one of the color commentators, did Aikman have a cold or something? Didn't even sound like him.
That I do not know.
But he was the color man with Joe Buck, wasn't he?
Yep.
For the Vikings. He made a point that college receivers made many mistakes this year that I saw on TV. He said the receiver looked the ball all the way into his hands. And after making that point, I hope some of the receivers for Iowa were watching and heard that comment, because they've had their problems with that particular category.
For sure.
So you can't catch it if you don't see it.
True.
That's it.
All right.
Thanks, Wallet.
Thanks.
Appreciate it. 319-366-1600.
Well, the spread in that Minnesota Vikings game and New Orleans Saints, we picked it in the Carl and Ernie's pick six at 5.
Thankfully.
So it ended up to being a push across the board. When we had gym class, had New Orleans across the board. So we lost 3 games there. We'll get to the pick six results here in a minute, but it's become a national story because a lot of folks got it at 5.5, including 74-90 on the text line. He took the Saints plus 5.5, and I'm cussing the whole first half. So I take the Saints as a pick 'em for the second half. So it looks like I win both bets. Then the extra point has to be played. Thank God they kneeled. Ooh.
Yes.
And you ask why that had to be kicked? Because unless it's an overtime, the kick has to be made.
True.
Or an attempt has to be made.
Yes. And the Saints, you know, they had a punter out there. They had other special teams guys out there.
You're the Saints, and you're in the locker room, and you just were devastated.
Had your heart pulled
out. You got to go out there and line up for an extra point try.
Man, wow. That was tough. That is a bad beat. That was a bad beat for the gym class. Because that was the three gym class members of the panel going up against the three members of the Todd Brommelkamp show. We all had New Orleans. We thought we had the thing in the bag. And then the last play happened. And the Vikings go on. Scold everybody out there.
35-60 on the text line. Well, some of us had the Vikes minus 5.5. That's a bad beat.
That's a bad beat. That is a bad beat. But, hey, if you're a Viking fan, yeah, you're going to take advancing in the playoffs, though, aren't you, at that point?
What do you think the odds are for this weekend? Have you seen them?
I have not seen the spread.
Let's look at New England and Jacksonville.
Okay. Oh, I got to think that's
you have a
10.
Number?
10.
I see it at 9.
Okay.
I mean, that's what I've seen on the internet.
So it's pretty close.
Minnesota at Philadelphia.
Minnesota and Philadelphia, I think there's a little bit of a push for the Vikings because of what happened yesterday. I'm going to say Philly by 2.
Minnesota minus 3.
Really?
Really.
Really?
Minnesota minus 3.
Interesting. 319-366-1600. What do you think about that game yesterday and the upcoming game coming up on Sunday? We'll have those games for you right here on KGYM, and that will be coming up. And we mentioned we got the tickets to go see the Rough Riders on Friday night. We'll have that giveaway before 4 o'clock as well. That'll be coming up here in a little bit. We did have a caller there, and if you drop, please give us a call back. Troy, please. Tell Pat to call back. Pat, please call back. We had a little snafu there. Give us a call back. And Pat, tell Troy to call, because we are still worried. We're going to talk to Mike Halas coming up in a bit. Good time to let the people know about the Carl and Ernie's Pick 6, brought to you by Carl and Ernie's Good Time Pub and Grub on Highway 1 West.
Why not? I mentioned that Minnesota-New Orleans game was a push across the board, so it came down to the last 5 games, and Sean went 4-1 in those and was the weekly winner, and he'll be giving away a $30 gift card to someone for the Coach's Corner, or the Carl and Ernie's,
yep,
a Good Time Pub and Grub. Todd, Scott, and myself all went 3-2. Alex and Kyle, 2-3. The net result is the Todd Brommelkamp show with Alex Kuhn gained a game on the gym class and now stands 2 games behind us.
All right. Very good. Very good. Going to bring in, go to the phones, and we got Pat ready to go. He called back here at 321. Hi, Pat. How you doing?
Hey, good, Scott. How you doing?
Good. How you been?
Hey, I've been all right. I've been all right. I listen to you guys all the time so I can pick up some good information from you and Mark. There's none better.
Well, thank you. Appreciate that.
Thank you,
Pep. It's all right. No, I was just calling. You guys were talking about the playoffs and whatnot. I watched all the games throughout the year, I'm a Philadelphia fan, and I guess that's a good thing for me, but not for a lot of people. But it's going to be interesting to see because Foles has had a lot of pressure on him since Wentz got hurt, and I think that the guy isn't going to create any miracles while he's out there. But as long as he doesn't fumble, I think we've got enough running backs, good running backs, and receivers, and a really good defense, and I think they could play with anybody. It'll be a good game with Minnesota because they're extremely physical as well, but I really think playing at Philly, I've been at Philly, and I'll tell you, it's a crazy place to play. And I'm hoping they win. I don't know, but I'd love to see them play either one. I mean, the Patriots or the Jaguars, it doesn't really matter. It would be a heck of a game, but I'm just throwing my 2 cents in there just to see.
All right.
To say I'd like to see Philly in there, probably against New England, because I'd like to see him beat Tom Brady, actually. So,
well,
I think there'd be a lot of folks being an Eagles fan in that game, yeah.
I think there would be. I think so.
Yeah, I hope so. I hope so. I mean, but if Minnesota wins, I'm okay with that. They're a good ball club, and I'm from the Midwest. It doesn't matter, but I've been a Philly fan for a long time, so I'd like to see him do something since they're up there.
I would agree. And you are not alone, you know. Scott Cleese from our bowling team, mm-hmm. Philadelphia Eagle fan. Tom Keating, principal over at Xavier. Now, his handle's Philly boy, so he's rooting for the Eagles. He was a little nervous Saturday.
and rightfully so. I mean, and that's, I think, to hold Atlanta to 10 points is pretty impressive after the way Atlanta had been playing the ball, the way they've been playing ball. And so I just think, you know, hopefully our defense can at least hold them down, and the rest of us, you know, the rest of the team can just do their thing. So we'll see. I mean, whatever happens, happens. But it's fun to see some other teams in there that haven't been in there, and I think that's really good for the sport.
I agree with you on that part, Pat. You bet.
Yeah. All right. Anyway,
appreciate the kind words, Pat, and you take care, man.
You too. You guys too. Thank you so much.
Thanks, Pat.
3:24 here on the program. Let's bring in Eugene up next here on a Monday edition of the program. Hi, Eugene.
Hey, guys. One thing I want to point out as a Rams fan is there are three former Rams quarterbacks in the playoffs. So my point is this. Is the art of tackling lost? I mean, we see it in Iowa. We saw it yesterday. It's a great example to show kids when you're teaching tackling. I'll hang up and listen. Thanks. Bye.
All right.
Echoing my sentiments, Eugene, I mean, I was just appalled when I saw that, and more appalled in the replay. Marcus Williams just a flyby past Diggs.
They asked him point blank, were you worried about contact because of a flag? And said, yeah, but, you know, I tried to make the tackle. He tried to backtrack a little bit, tried to make the tackle, but he whiffed. And then he took out his teammate.
Yeah.
That was the worst possible scenario. You miss, you try to avoid contact, you screw that up, you miss the tackle, and then you take out the guy that could have made the tackle. So I don't know if he could have caught Diggs, though. That would have been very close, but mm-hmm. Diggs is very, very fast out there. Let's go to a Viking fan, Mike in Cedar Rapids. Mike, I know how you are today.
Hey, guys, just wanted to comment on the miracle in Minnesota. You know, it's a great day for Vikings fans across the United States of America. We just want to say a skull out there to all you guys, and it's redemption for the last time that the Saints took us out.
That's, you know, that's very, very true for Viking fans out there. Well, Mike, enjoy it.
All right, we're going to. You guys do a great job. Thanks for keeping up the good work.
Thanks, Mike.
All right, 319-366-1600.
15:45 feels good. A feel-good game and justice for 2009's Bounty Gate.
I think a lot of people are thinking that are Viking fans out there right now. And can they do it against the Eagles? We'll see. We shall see out there. I think it's going to be a very, very good game. And, boy, you never thought you'd say the Vikings being outside might be a disadvantage from the all the plays. But do you think the Eagles and the Vikings may be the two snake-bit NFC playoff teams over the years? Of course, now my Chiefs are getting a lot of that, but there's a common denominator there.
Certainly the Vikings.
Certainly the Vikings.
There's a long history of that. Yeah.
Drew Pearson at the old Met to the Super Bowl losses. I don't want to bring anybody down. Who's a Viking fan here today. All right. We need to take a break. We're going to get to Mike Halas coming up. We haven't even mentioned Iowa-Oklahoma State wrestling as of yet. We'll talk about that a little bit tomorrow, a lot on Wednesday. Iowa getting the 20-12 victory over Oklahoma State. We will pay tribute to one of the best in Keith Jackson that we lost on Saturday, well, actually Friday night, but it was the news got out on Saturday morning. We will talk about that and a whole lot more coming up on a Monday edition of the Gym Class coming your way here on KGYM. We'll take a break. Mike Halas will join us on the other side.
For all those times you wish you would have known.
Hey, nice look, Kevin. Your shirt's on inside out.
Yeah, that coupon expired a week ago.
Of course it did.
But, Dad, school pictures are today.
All right, back upstairs then.
Sorry, we closed at 4.
Really? Come on.
In a world fraught with fraud, DuPaco Community Credit Union is on a mission to protect your identity, your credit, and your financial position. That's why we offer simple, effective tools for helping you to stay in the know about your account activity, credit score, and more. And they're absolutely free for all DuPaco members.
So, now I know.
Access your credit monitoring tools anytime through DuPaco's online banking or app. Not a DuPaco member? Join today in branch or online at DuPaco.com. Equal housing opportunity, federally insured by NCUA.
Simplify supper and warm up winter. Order Happy Joe's in Cedar Rapids. Happy Joe's has the biggest large pizza in town to fill up the whole fam. And you can save some dough with Happy Joe's hot deals at HappyJoesCR.com. While you're there, sign up for Happy Joe's VIP Club too for exclusive offers and to earn points towards a free pizza. Go to HappyJoesCR.com and order your favorite pizza online from Happy Joe's 2 Cedar Rapids locations. Delivery or carryout available.
1600 ESPN Radio is testing its emergency alert system equipment.
This has been a test of the emergency alert system.
There are still companies that care, companies that have your back, companies that provide stability for you and your family. PMX Industries in Cedar Rapids is one of those companies. You can start at $17.27 an hour with great benefits you'd expect from a company that treats you like family. Sometimes it's the small things like holiday parties, summer picnics, and movie parties that speak volumes about your work family. Learn more about the PMX family at ipmx.com.
If you work for yourself, don't think of that sound as a receipt being crumpled. Think of it as lost deductions, because every business receipt you lose is cash lost. $5, $3, $2. And if you misplace $10 of business receipts every workday for a year, that's $2,600 in lost deductions, unless you've already snapped them with QuickBooks.
Snap and sort your expenses for maximum deductions at tax time. Visit QuickBooks.com. Smarter business tools for the world's hardest workers. QuickBooks, backing you.
Looking back at the glory days while keeping the pulse on the here and now. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes on The Gym Class, KGYM.
Back with you, Monday edition of The Gym Class here on KGYM. We'll have those Rough Rider tickets for Friday night's game against Team USA. We will be giving those away before 4 o'clock here today, and looking forward to that. And we got high school basketball coming up tonight, Cyclone Collins Show coming up tonight as well. And a lot of talk about the NFL games that took place yesterday. People fired up, especially Viking fans out there, as the Vikings get that last second, first ever, I believe, walk-off playoff touchdown in a NFL playoff game.
It's true.
And that was very, very exciting, especially if you were wearing the purple and gold yesterday. Mike Halas joining us from the Cedar Rapids Gazette. Follow him on Twitter at Halas, and you can read all his fine work at thegazette.com. Joining us here on Mondays here on the Gym Class on KGYM. And Mike, I felt like I spent the entire weekend with you, man. Whoops, so we should bring you on here.
You did.
Yeah, Saturday and Sunday. But anyway.
I had a long Saturday, too, but I don't know how long you were there Saturday, but you were there a long time.
I was there 10:30 in the morning to almost 9 o'clock at night.
Oh, well, okay, I overstated it.
That's a good place to start. A lot of people came out to see Joe Wieskamp play for the Muscatine Muskies, and he did not disappoint the crowd.
No, he's not exactly a secret around here anymore. I mean, we've been hearing his name for a few years now, especially when it became known that Iowa wanted him and then signed him. But he's done nothing to make anybody think that that wasn't a great catch by Fran McCaffrey, even though he is just down the road in Muscatine. Good thing that this one didn't get away, because I'm interested in your take, Scott, but I think he's a Big Ten player.
I think if he was a freshman in college and reclassified, I think he might be in the starting lineup right now for the Iowa Hawkeyes.
That's very possible. I mean, he has elements that they sorely need. The ability to create his own shot and the ability to make three-pointers, as well as the other things he does well. I mean, he's 6'6", for starters. and he certainly is a good rebounder. He seemed to collect every defensive rebound there was to be had in that game. And he's athletic. I mean, I think he might be sneakily athletic. I don't think he's not a jet, but he gets up and down the court pretty quickly, it looks like to me.
No, I would agree with that. And the one thing that impressed me, and we've had Joel from Muscatine call us, who is friends with the family, covers the team, etc. And you could just notice there, he's getting double teamed, he's getting triple teamed, he's getting jostled. He's getting the treatment that you get when you are the best player in the state of Iowa, and the other team is trying to stop you. And he didn't. His expression never changed. Didn't get too high. Didn't get too low. That's what really impressed me.
Right, you nailed it. His expression never changes. I've seen him play twice, and I mean, he could be. He could make a good con man because he just doesn't show. I'm a good poker player. He does not give away any emotions. Very steady as she goes. And in interview sessions, you watch him play. I don't want to make this guy out to be, you know, the next Stephon Curry or anything like this, but I just think he's a player that's going to be easy for people to get behind in Iowa. You talk about him getting doubled and tripled, and he doesn't seem to care. He just gets the ball to a teammate. He scores 38 Saturday, and it's like, well, was he a gunner? No. He just took shots that were there, and when they weren't there, he did the right thing and found open teammates. If he played with just a little better of a supporting cast, and I know that's a term that some people hate, but if he just had, for instance, if there were another three-point shooter on the team, it would be really interesting to see what Wieskamp could do with some room to operate. But he takes the situation he has, and he seems to make the best of it.
Ever have an opportunity to meet Keith Jackson, Mike?
Yeah, I was thinking about that this weekend. I meant to go into the archives and see what I could find, but He was like the guest MC or the guest of honor or something at one of the old Friday morning Johnson County iClub breakfasts that they used to have before every home game. They did that for decades. And when Fry was the coach, in Fry's later years, Keith Jackson came to one of those, and it really made for a special morning. Jackson sort of embraced it. He spoke, and it's been a long time ago, but my memory of it is that people basically hung on his every word, and he was a really good ambassador that day. And he was just one of those unique people in sports media who everybody seemed to love. I mean, everybody appreciated the way he did his job and the professionalism and the enthusiasm and the distinctive style he had. And so when you get people like that, and Dick Enberg, who died recently, was certainly another of those, you feel a personal loss when somebody like that dies, even though he hadn't been broadcasting for several years. And he was delightful to listen to, and he elevated a standard in American sportscasting.
I'm not a big "those are the good old days" kind of guy, but really that breed – Enberg and Keith Jackson and so many others, Kurt Gowdy, I'm not sure, that wasn't a golden era.
It was, and it was also the first era of national broadcasters. It wasn't until the 1960s when we started to know these people. But also longevity, I think, has a lot to do with that. Nobody who's foisted on you immediately becomes a favorite, but after decades, and you really feel like you get to know somebody, and if it's somebody you like, then I think you've really got something, and that's what it was with Jackson. People, associate him with college football, but I forgot this. He was on the first year of Monday Night Football.
Yes, he was. Yes,
yeah. He was. And it just wasn't the right fit. And he knew it, and I think the network knew it, and they brought in Frank Gifford in year two. But Jackson also did NBA, and he did some Major League Baseball. And so, I mean, he could do it all, but it was college football was his thing, and nobody did more Rose Bowls than he did. And his name, I think, is even on the press box or in the press box at Pasadena. And it just made the Rose Bowl a little bit bigger when he called the game.
Yeah, and he's the one that coined it, the granddaddy of them all, was Keith Jackson. And you mentioned all the things that Keith Jackson did, and I agree wholeheartedly. Also did auto racing. He did...
Wide World of Sports.
Wide World. He did everything from the national championship college football games to, you know, barrel jumping on ice. You know,
yeah.
With dancing bears around, not to get all Norm Parker on people, but he did it, and that's what made it cool.
Yeah. You know, and the way he could turn phrases was always a treat, you know, sort of the folksy thing. And he was an often imitated guy. I don't mean by other broadcasters, but by comedians sometimes. You know, you talk about your tradition, you know, you talk about a man named, you know, you talk about a the Texas Tech Red Raiders. You talk about a man named Paul Bear Bryant. And then going into his Whoa Nelly thing, and it was just how wound up he could get. But it wasn't an act.
No, it was genuine.
It wasn't some shtick. It was simply an enthusiastic person calling a game.
Well, and we talked about some of the broadcasters, especially Dick Enberg and of course, Keith Jackson and others. But it was a different era, though, as well back then. You didn't have every game on television. You knew they were special, and you knew that the announcer was special as well. And they let the game or whatever they were doing kind of speak for itself. It wasn't about the announcer, kind of like it is with a lot of people now.
Yeah.
And, you know, I got to get my shtick in while the game's going on.
Well, and again, I think time makes these people. Joe Buck, for instance, has taken a lot of criticism in various circles, and I'm not sure why. I'm not saying I'm a big fan or that I feel one way or the other, but, you know, if you listen to his call of that final play yesterday in the Vikings game, that's one of those calls that's going to stand up for decades.
Yep.
You know, he just it was. They were the right words and the right way at the big moment. And I think all broadcasters wonder how they would handle that big moment, but you never know until you have to find out.
Matt, the Michigan fan on the text line, the coolest thing I remember from Keith Jackson was congratulating Bob Greasy when his son won the MVP of the Rose Bowl, saying, "I'm standing next to his proud daddy."
I remember, you
know,
that.
You know, you can't be from the Southwest and call somebody a father.
No, no.
It's got to be daddy.
Michael Loss joining us at 3:42 here on the gym class on a Monday edition here on KGYM. Mike, our long statewide statewide nightmare is now over. Iowa has a win, UNI has a win, and Iowa has a win in college basketball. And, of course, Drake just keeps putting up wins.
Yeah, the floodgates are open. The question is, how long do they stay open? But all three of those teams from Thursday through Saturday had games that you looked at and you said, they got a chance, but you don't know. And they all took care of business, and it was pretty big relief at all three places.
What do you think the big difference in the second half and overtime in that game against Illinois was?
Everybody seems to think it was going to that 1-3-1 zone. But I just thought it was an attitudinal thing as much as anything, as mm-hmm. so much is in sports. They got behind 20 points, and it would have been so incredibly easy to just, you know, tank it. To just say, all right, here, you know, this thing's done. Let's get out of here. And they didn't. And, look, they're not going to win any championships. They're not going to go to the NCAA tournament. We know what they're not going to do. But we also know that what they didn't do was quit. And, you're 0-5 in the Big Ten, and you're on the road where nobody's rooting for you, and you're down 20 points. Quitting seemed like it would have been a very easy choice, and Iowa chose not to quit, and it paid off. You know, it paid off beautifully, and some players really stood up in that game. And so that, you know, that's what you're always hoping for in sports, is you just keep pushing, keep pushing, keep pushing, and you break through. And now we see what they can do with this. They go to Rutgers Wednesday. That's winnable. But like everywhere, it's no gimme, but it's winnable. And then Saturday, it's Purdue at home, and that could be fun. You know, Purdue is as good a team as there is in America. 6-0 in the Big Ten, playing great ball. Experienced team, balanced. To me, a kind of a total package of a team. But opportunities knock for Iowa, and it's going to be interesting for me to see if Hawkeye sees that or not this week.
Yeah, and then, of course, Saturday, of course, a very special day. 11 o'clock in the morning is the start time for that one, by the way, if people don't know about it. But Chris Street game, if you will. They'll be honoring Chris's memory. A lot of former teammates are going to be back and people associated with Chris Street. So that not that Iowa needs motivation to play a top-five team in Purdue, but if you can't get motivated by that, you're not going to get motivated.
Yeah, that's more a motivator for the fans, especially the older ones. I mean, 25 years ago, I don't even need to say the following words, but can you believe it? You know, none of the players on the current Hawkeyes team were alive when Chris Street played, and so it's all legendary stuff to them, you know, secondhand. But for those of us who were around then, it's, you know, they say never forget, and how could you if you lived here? So it'll be interesting to see all those former Hawkeyes come back and what kind of emotions, you know, floating around that arena that day. And stranger things have happened than an Iowa win this coming Saturday against Purdue. But they play Rutgers first.
Refresh my memory, Mike. I was sports editor at that time when I got the call at home that Chris Street had died, and of course, went back to the newspaper, and the memory serves. I don't think I had to direct you anywhere. You were in Iowa City, or on your way very quickly, right?
Well, no, actually, it was I believe it was a Monday night, and I had played pickup basketball with some friends at a church gym. I'm hearing something else here. Do you hear that?
Oh, I don't. No, but I
okay,
can.
Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, forgive me. Anyway, I went home and took a shower from that, and the phone rings, and it was you guys at the office, Mark, and so it's like, okay, and then, you know, January night and the wintertime, and I got a head full of wet hair, and I'm on the road to Carver to see if I can get anything for the paper the next day. And I remember I filed the story from the donut land on the Coralville Strip, and you're just in a daze, and I get back in the car and come back to the office, and I think I passed you in the alley outside the Gazette as I was coming back to Cedar Rapids. And it was just, I remember just us looking at each other like, what's happened here?
Yeah.
I think a daze is kind of the best way to describe it. And I still remember we had a game that night. We were out over at Linmar, the old gym up there in the second floor, way back in the day. And Bob Carey, the athletic director, told us when we got down from the crow's nest, man, there was an accident. Chris Street's dead.
One thing I remember about that night, I was in the office, and I know Jim Ecker and others were on the phone trying to elicit comments, and the number of coaches who not only got on the phone but were very willing to just outpour their feelings towards this player, Johnny Orr, Judd Heathcote. I don't remember the others, but that struck me as well.
Yeah, I do remember that. we had a lot of that. And what I also remember was a couple the last game Street played was at Duke.
Yep.
You remember Iowa had a sort of an unusual deal where they played at Duke in the middle of the Big Ten season. I think it was a national TV game. I'm not sure. National TV games weren't as prevalent then as they are now, so it's not an automatic. But it must have been for them to have scheduled that. And Iowa went to Duke, and that was a cool thing. I'd never been to Duke before for basketball, and Duke handled them pretty well. It wasn't Iowa's greatest game. And what I remember was, besides how packed you were in that place, like sardines, is after the game, Street was the only Iowa player who willingly came out and talked to reporters. Mm. And, I mean, he was a real stand-up guy about it. And I remember sort of, you know, wrestling with myself, maybe I should just write about that, how, you know, this was the one guy who came out and, you know, seemed to shoulder responsibility for a team defeat and, you know, be the stand-up guy, but I went a different direction. I don't remember what. And then a couple of days later, he died, and I always regretted not having written what I originally thought about writing because it's, you know, it's easier to say that after the fact, but
right.
I wish I'd done it beforehand.
All right. Before we let you go, Iowa got the wrestling victory yesterday over Oklahoma State. The batteries are recharged, I think, right now, and they head to Columbus for an even bigger duel coming up next weekend in the Big Ten.
Yeah, and that'll be tough sledding. Ohio State might have the best team in the country, but it's been a good January so far for Iowa wrestling. They needed that. They needed that yesterday. They had, 13,000 some people?
Yep.
Yeah, and they won, you know, it was a grind of a duel, but they won six matches, and they had some guys who looked good doing it, and they I think, built a lot of goodwill in their fan base. And I think that there were some things that happened yesterday that give them a little bit more hope as far as being a national player this year. So the next step next week at Ohio State, and whether that'll be a step forward or backward, I don't know. But I think that they'll certainly at least be able to compete.
7960 reminds us on the text line, Iowa's next home game after Street's death, Iowa beat the Fab Five.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, that one was, that was surreal. And the first game after that was at Michigan State.
Mm-hmm. Yep. At Michigan State.
Know, had one of those crazy comebacks, and Val Barnes was just absolutely out of his mind good in that game.
Yeah. And Russ Millard, I think that was his first game as a Hawkeye. And he played very well. Iowa had a big second-half comeback.
You know, we're talking, this stuff's 25 years ago, and we remember it. And I can't tell you things that happened, you know, a year ago.
I can't tell you the golf team I drafted yesterday. I know they didn't beat yours.
I walk in the office, all he has to say was, hey, I won $25 playing poker, too.
That never happens.
I went home and I watched the Vikings, man. And I tell you what, you don't get too many weeks like that between that Alabama game and that Vikings game.
No.
And for all the people who stopped watching the NFL because they didn't like, you know, this or that about it, I think a few people saw that game yesterday.
Yeah, I think so. I think so. All right, Mike, hey, appreciate it as always. Keep up the great work. Read Mike's stuff at thegazette.com. Follow him on Twitter at Halas. And talk to you soon, man.
Okay.
Mike joining us on Mondays here in the gym class on KGYM. We're going to get you an opportunity to win some Rough Rider tickets right now to Friday night's game. It is Small Business Appreciation Night this Friday night at Stable. Rough Riders taking on Team USA at 7:05. More information available at KGYMradio.com. Caller number 6 right now at 319-366-1600. 319-366-1600, caller number six. You are going to get those tickets. Back with more after this.
If you're a small business, first impressions can make all the difference. With Grasshopper, you get all the features of a professional business phone system on your mobile phone. Choose a business phone number, make calls, and send texts. Stay connected and work from anywhere with features like Wi-Fi calling and our desktop app. Set up your account in minutes with no long-term contracts and 24/7 customer support. Make your small business big. Now get $20 off your first month when you visit grasshopper.com/radio. That's grasshopper.com/radio.
You know what happened on 9/11.
19 men attacked our country. The 12 of you will be the first to fight back.
Now discover the untold story of what happened next.
If we take that city, then we cripple Bin Laden.
From the producer of Black Hawk Down.
Our boys are going to ride into battle on horseback.
Let's roll, boys. Let's roll.
No reinforcements. No extraction. We're on our own.
I'll follow you anywhere.
I ain't losing one man on this team.
12 Strong. In theaters Thursday. Rated R. Under 17, not admitted without parent.
Welcome back, Hawkeyes. Iowa Book's goal this week is to make your shopping easy. Iowa Book has added extra staff, extra cash registers, and is open extra hours. Save money by choosing less expensive used or rental textbooks. Iowa Book also has all your necessary school supplies and Hawkeye gear. Iowa Book is open this Monday, Tuesday, and Wednesday, 8:30 till 9. Downtown Iowa City, across from the old Capitol since 1920.
Iowa Book! One-of-a-kind bookstore.
Okay, the holidays are over, and you're thinking about selling your home this year. Doug McAllister and the team at Pinnacle Realty know how quickly spring will be here and know what to do to get your home ready for the selling season, now just weeks away. The Cedar Rapids housing market was white hot last year, and right now, Pinnacle can make sure your home is ready to sell at your price. Just go to soldincr.com to learn more. That's soldincr.com. Spring is closer than you think.
First Federal Credit Union is proud to present Corridor High School Athletics on the gym. First Federal Credit Union, financial solutions for the way you live. FirstFedCU.com.
Member NCUA and equal housing lender.
You'll probably find them either on the golf course or at the bowling alley. Scott Unash and Mark Dukes, the gym class on KGYM.
Goes into the end zone, and it is incomplete. Hold the phone, everybody. There's a penalty flag thrown, and I think it's against Miami. The royalty of college football is in assembly at the Rose Bowl 2006. He's going for the corner. He's got it. Vince Young scores. Texas has defeated Southern California to win the national championship of college football.
That was the final game Keith Jackson called, was that epic battle between Vince Young and Texas and USC.
Pretty appropriate at that, right?
Absolutely.
Yeah.
And Keith Jackson, who passed away this weekend, he was 76 when he called that. And he sounded like he was, 55 or something like that right there. Usually people lose a little bit when they get a little bit longer in a tooth like that. But Keith Jackson still had it and probably could have gone a couple more years. But he went out on his own terms and went out with that national championship game.
Hold the phone.
Oh, Nelly, we're going to play some college football.
That's a good collection there.
Yeah, some good stuff right there. Keith Jackson, who left us, and also another significant sports death over the weekend, the great Dan Gurney. People that follow auto racing know Dan Gurney, who drove everything. Indianapolis cars, USAC cars, sports cars, Formula One cars. One of the preeminent road racers in American history, passing away over the weekend as well.
Another iconic name, right?
Yeah. And, too bad. And, boy, oh, boy, we will miss those two. Certainly.
Covered a lot of ground today. 2292. We did talk about Iowa wrestling just a little bit. I know you're just tuning in, but we'll talk more tomorrow and Wednesday.
Yeah, Wyatt Schultz will join us tomorrow, and then we'll have Mark Ironside on Wednesday coming up tomorrow. Hopefully we're going to have some folks with the Minnesota Twins as well. I know Mitch Garver is going to be on the Todd Brommelkamp show today. The Twins winter caravan is coming down. Of course, the hot stove banquet coming up on Wednesday.
The only thing we have not confirmed is if Cajun Troy's okay.
No, Troy. Alex said he.
Oh.
Alex got a text from Troy this morning. Troy, I don't know if she's okay, but she's there. So fantastic. And Troy, we're sorry. Things didn't go better for you.
I think Alex forwarded that to me, but I usually don't try to look at my phone during the show.
And you shouldn't look at your phone during the show. All right, we're going to get you to the Todd Brommelkamp Show with Alex Kuhn. That's going to be coming your way next right here on KGYM. A reminder, we've got Cyclone Call-In Show coming your way tonight at just past 7 o'clock on 1600 AM. And then 1600 AM, immediately following that, we'll head to Cleveland and Golden State NBA basketball, the rematch coming up tonight. I will be at Washington. Warriors hosting Fairfield and Boys High School basketball, 7:30 on 107.5, 106.3 FM. Have a good night.
Have a great night, everyone.
All right. It's been the Gym Class here on KGYM.
Pop quiz. What's the most important part of a ship? Don't answer. It's the crow's nest. Know why? Complete visibility. I can see what's on the horizon and my crew pulling the ship together on the deck below. That's how I run this ship, and that's why we use Grainger. Grainger helps us keep a clear eye on our inventory, saving us.